Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Gene Alert.
This is Wilson Zarrillo with Compass Real Estate, licensed real estate agent. We talked about financial literacy.
This is Christopher Figueroa, senior loan officer up at Embrace Home Loans, talking about the family life.
Balance. We talked about empowering the youth. Like, there's so many little nuggets that we dropped in here, man. So tune in right now. Peace.
We are amazing because our passion is limitless and our drive is intense. Therefore, you will not deny our grind. You are now listening to the Faith Grind Inspire podcast with your host, Gene Alert.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another great episode of Faith Grind Inspire podcast. I am your host, Gene Alert. And today, we don't have just one special guest. We have two. We have two special guests today joining us. My man, Wilson. That's and my right. boy, Chris. And today is going to be a powerful episode, man. And but I want to first say something, man. I want to apologize to my man Wilson because I've been calling him Willis. I've been calling him Willis for this whole time, and me and him are on the same team. And at Compass, shout out to the Sabre team, Dave Sabre. What up? And then. And I have him in my phone, man, just in case he didn't believe me. I showed him my phone. I said, look, I have you as Willis. And he, you know.
I thought he was being funny, so I let him rock for a little bit.
But hold on, guys. Hold on.
I wanted to clear the mic, clear the air today.
It's Wilson.
Yeah, it's Wilson. It's Wilson. And I was like, oh, man.
Well, you got it right.
You learn something every day.
That's right.
I always thought they had it wrong. On your listing stuff, I was like, why are they calling him Wilson for?
Guess what? We're going to get to know each other a little better on this episode.
Yes, yes. So, Chris, what's up, bro?
I'm hanging in there, man.
Yeah, man.
Feeling blessed, feeling happy.
Yeah, one of the top mortgage brokers, man, in Long Island, New York, right?
On my way up, baby.
On your way, right?
Hard work, persistence.
That's what's up. So, let's see. Who's we're going to start with? We're going to start with my man, Chris. Tell us where you're from, bro.
Born and raised, Suffolk County, Long Island.
Suffolk County, where?
Huntington.
Huntington. Okay. All right. Deer Park.
Oh, yeah. I think we, okay. Yes, yep. You were telling me you spent a lot of time out there.
Yeah, yeah. From fifth grade all the way to senior year. Mm-hmm.
Deer Park is, it's crazy what's happening. I mean, just overall in the whole Long Island market,
mm-hmm.
you know, probably when you were out there, you get a house maybe 150,
yeah.
200,000.
Yeah.
Maybe good luck.
Yeah, good luck. Yeah.
Good luck trying to find that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's crazy. I mean, this was all across the board, even where you're at now in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, geez.
Oh, yeah. No, Brooklyn is, like, ridiculous. You know, and people, I remember when someone said $1 million, you're like, whoa, right? Now
yeah,
it's like, now it's like every day. It's like,
you have to move the budget up a little.
Yeah,
it's sale like price in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Bed-Stuy at least.
In Bed-Stuy at yeah. least. And you like $1 million. You're like, oh, all right.
That's a tough budget.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, I don't know if I can find you anything for $1 million.
Right.
So, all right. What's up, Wilson?
That's right. You got it right, Mr. Gene Alert.
So tell us, you where are you from? You from Long Island, too,
I'm
right?
from Long Island as well. I was born in Brooklyn, mm-hmm. raised in Long Island from about the same time as you, fifth grade to senior year, went away to college, originally from Massac Beach, Long Island, Suffolk
okay.
County.
Deep in there.
Yeah, deep.
You went exit from Brooklyn 68. To exit 60-something?
Well, I was born in Brooklyn,
oh, born
raised
here.
In Queens in my earlier years. And
okay.
And my mom made the sacrifice to move us out there.
Got it.
Better schools.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah.
Or so they say.
Or so they say,
so they
right?
say, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's different, man. It's all about viewpoint.
Yeah.
You know? Like, but shout out to Deer Park, man. Like, I know my school was a good school. Like,
yeah.
my school was really good. I had fun. Like, I learned a lot. They exposed us to a lot of things. Like,
right.
we had, like, they were mostly focused on entrepreneurship in that school.
That's great.
Yeah, because all the kids, most of the kids' parents own businesses on Deer Park Ave.
Yeah.
So, and just businesses, period.
Yeah.
And so they just folk me. Like, we learned stock. We learned investments. Like,
wow, that's
so,
awesome.
Yeah, bro. We had a not a business group. We had a class.
Yeah.
Miss Lamagino, like, she taught a Wall Street class. We had Investors Business Daily. Like, we had to subscribe, pay. We had to pay.
Right.
And get newspapers every day. you know?
Yeah, our school wasn't like that. I mean, it wasn't one of the best schools, but I would say if you did apply yourself, you will get somewhere. Because the teachers did support the kids that wanted to do something with themselves.
Yeah.
The kids that didn't want to do something with themselves, hey, go kick rocks, you know? But, you know, the ones that were trying to do something with themselves, we did get the support.
So, mm-hmm. So guys, I'm in the studio, and the interesting thing is, like, there's a mortgage guy here and a real estate guy here, right?
Go hand in hand.
And so it's cool because, you know, this relationship started a long time ago, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so I want to talk about that. Like, how did you guys meet? You're from Mastic. You're Huntington. Like, what's going on?
Oh, well, he was living in Mastic. That's where we met.
Yeah,
he's confused on where he's from.
Listen, man, it's just one of those things, you know. Where I spend more time is in Huntington, you know.
Got it.
My business, I do a lot of business in Huntington.
Yeah.
Got a lot of referral partners. But long story short, you know, I met Will. Like, man, we've been tight since, like, the sixth grade.
Yeah.
You know, met this kid. We were riding on the bus. I think I bumped into you, man, and, you know, you gave me a funny look, and kind of just built off of that.
Yo, he from Queens, bro.
I think we really
East New York.
East New York.
My mom was from East New York, but we grew up in Richmond Hill, Queens.
Okay.
But no, we met through a mutual friend. Remember Eddie Pierre?
Oh God. Yes.
We met through a mutual friend, and we would always hang out there, and something happened where we weren't cool with the kid anymore, but we remained tight, you know. Mm-hmm. And then we just kept building from there.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. You know, people come and go, but, you know, Will has just managed to stay in my inner circle. Crazy. And you know, fast forward to now, it's like he's doing his thing with the real estate, I'm doing my thing with, you know, in the mortgage industry, but, you know, we do go hand in hand. So, you know, not only, you know, has that come to fruition, because it's been a long time coming. I mean, you were doing, you know, you were doing your thing, you know, rental, you know, you're doing a lot of rental in Brooklyn. Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, I get it. But I would always, like, hit him, like, well, man, when you start doing sales? Do some sales. And now he's just...
killing him.
You got quite a few listens out there.
Yeah, we're working hard. And got to give credit to the Sabre team and Compass for giving us that leverage to... Mm-hmm. They really have a platform where it's like a lot of my business did come from rentals, and that's where I made my name. But once we crossed over to this new company, it's like they support sales more than rentals. So I had to alter my game. And it was like all those relationships I built through rentals was going to giving them, staying in contact with them, like, hey, I'm doing more sales. So I finally was able to get in the door and actually convince a few of these clients that I do have to take me serious on that side of the business. So he did push me on that sense, but I think having the leverage of a big company like Compass, it makes it so much easier.
Yeah. I like what you just said as far as he pushed, you know, he was pushing me and you were like pushing him. And, you know, surrounding yourself with the right people is one of the principles of success, right? And I love the fact that you guys known each other and worked with each other since like sixth grade. Like, that's amazing, right? And that this, and especially as men, a lot of times men don't grow together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we want to. When you see it on TV, you're like, damn, man, I want, you know, like, how come that is, you know what I'm saying? Like, right. You just grow, you know, create your own families or whatever. So I applaud you guys for that, you know, and the inspire part, right? Like, you saw something in your friend that he was comfortable in a space, right? I just break stuff down.
Right,
He was comfortable in a space and he was successful at it. And so you like, look, bro, like don't get comfortable. Let's keep moving. Just like you want him to say, hey, look,
right?
Don't get comfortable. Keep pushing. Like, let's do commercial loans. Let's do $1 million loans. Like, right. You know what I'm saying? Come to the city, you know?
We had that conversation.
Yeah. We're
building on that now.
Yeah. No. But that's what I love it. I love that dynamic, man. That relationship structure is perfect. Like, it's good.
Right.
You know? So that's good. I like that. Especially when you talk about surrounding yourself with the right people, man.
Yeah, for sure. Like, when you're in high school, you have so many friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what you don't know moving forward, that after a couple years, that all those friends you were popular, there's only two or three real friends that are going to be around you. Like you said, you outgrow people. And I feel like why me and Chris stayed tight was that our mindsets really aligned. And I think where we really like took our friendship to another level in regards to business is we lived together in Bed-Stuy for what? It was about a year. Chris got his real estate license and he started doing real estate with me at one point.
I tried my hand at it.
Oh, that's cool.
So we got an apartment. We both, you know, leaving the nest from our parents. And he's like, bro, I don't know. Like, we were both scared because this is our first real apartment together, you know? Like,
so you guys moved out your parents' house together, moved to Brooklyn from Long Island, and got into real estate.
I was already in it.
Oh, you already in it.
So I basically was like, yo, come with me. I'll throw you the listings. I always had a ton of landlords. So I've always had good relationships. Yeah. So I was like, yo, just come with me. You know, you'll show the listings. I'll show the listings. We'll break bread, right? So that's what happened. And it was really a routine. Like, from the beginning, I had a list. Because we came from, it was a bigger company, more of a rental company. Mm-hmm. But then we just downsized to 100% commission company so we can make more money. Mm-hmm. But you didn't get no platform. It was all on your own. No website, nothing.
No nothing.
Like, you had to do everything on your own. So I had a list that I had from a while ago of landlords. And our everyday routine was wake up 9, 10 a.m., mm-hmm. hit that list, get those listings, put them up, and we start advertising them, start showing them. So that's how we came about that. And I think that's when he did good. And then it was more or less like, real estate's not for me.
I'm a numbers guy. I like numbers.
Yeah.
You know, I could show you an apartment, but I could show you a mortgage a lot better.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I tried it. I could say I tried it. Can't say I went bad. I made a couple bucks.
Yeah,
you know. But at that point in my life, you know, I had my son on the way, so you know I had to. I my phone rang one day and I got an offer to work at this big bank. You know, they heard about the work I did at the previous bank before I took a break from the mortgage game, and I took them up on their offer. And you know, 4 years later, I'm here.
Yeah, I love it, man.
Crazy.
So. This show is all about the mindset of entrepreneurs, right? And what do you think the biggest challenge, because you guys are both entrepreneurs, full-time people, like, what do you think the biggest challenge why certain people make it in sales and some people don't?
I think a big thing for me, I'll tell you, can I share something?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, you know, the type of business that we're in, especially, you know, with me, with the mortgages, you know, you got your family, right? You know, so my mom and dad, when I told them I was getting into the mortgage game, they were like, do they have good benefits? You know, I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, I want to give it a shot at that. Before I was a mortgage guy, I just want to put it out there. I was a barber.
Yeah.
I cut hair for almost, you know, 7-8 years. Sitting behind a chair cutting.
Yeah.
So I've always been a people person, but one of my boys, he was in the game, and you know, he got me into it. But again, it's just like my family. They didn't get it. So they were always trying to like, kind of like throw it down. Like, nah, man, it's not going to work out. You're not making any money. You know, they're always trying to discourage you. So, well, you know, and I love my mom and dad to death, man. But boy, they were like, I was like, yo, man, I might want to quit, man. I might want to just get a 9-to-5. And God, thank God I didn't. But,
yeah,
you know, I think, you know, You gotta pull through that.
Yeah. So
a lot of people don't have that.
I think it's a mentality thing.
Mentality.
You know, staying consistent and persistent. I always compare entrepreneurship and sales to sports.
Mm-hmm.
I always play sports throughout my life. And one of my good coaches that coached me for several years, he said one thing that always stuck with me. He said, execute, execute, and good things will happen. So always take action. And in sales, you'll get 10 no's before you get one yes. Yeah. And a lot of people aren't cut out for the business because they're not emotionally and mentally ready to take that. They can't take defeat. And like I said, crossing over from sports to sales, it's like you practice your craft. You go to the gym so you can step on that court or that field and be the best. And just like us for sales or entrepreneurship, we talk to a bunch of different people and we sharpen our craft each and every day. you may take an event that happened during the day and it may have not gone the way you want it to, but I think the difference between people that are successful and non-successful, the successful people say, sit back and say, what could I have done differently here to succeed in this situation? And I think the unsuccessful people, they take it as defeat and put their head down. Mm-hmm. You got to constantly hit, and then eventually something's going to happen. It's like going through a slump in baseball. I played baseball all my life.
Okay.
There was times that you can hit the ball the hardest you want, the best, the sweetest spot of the bat. It's going straight to the infield or straight to the outfielder. But eventually that ball is going to fall, and you're going to get back on your grind. And that's how entrepreneurship and salesman is. That's how I always correlate it. I feel like I'm an athlete.
Yeah.
Like, I love to see it.
Mm.
And when I renegotiate a contract, it's like, I see the numbers I'm putting up. You can't give me that. I know what I'm worth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's how I always correlate business and sports.
I love that, man. I love that analogy. And to touch on your point first, like, that family structure, right? Because you lived at home at first, right? Mm-hmm. And so the parents and your family, the people around you are, because you both said something interesting. You had the coach, right? Because you didn't talk about the family part. He did, right?
Yeah, so you jump into that a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you had the coach to inspire and push you towards, like, to be a better athlete. You're just making that analogy. But, you know, getting into real estate, right? I remember the same thing, bro. Like, when I was 18. I look young now. When I was 18 years old, I looked like a straight baby, right? And my family basically told my mom and dad, like, look, Gene's wasting his time.
Mm.
Like, my mom was crying. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if you guys understand. Like, seeing your mom cry based on a decision you made, it's like tough. It's like,
yeah, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, of course.
It's like, damn, am I really I felt like I was selling drugs, or I'm like, I killed someone.
You were second guessing yourself.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. Like, it was nuts, you know? So, but same thing with you. I was like, I'm not giving up. Like, this can't be something wrong. Like,
right. This
has to be right, because it feels so good to me, you know? Mm-hmm. And but you have to be strong. And a lot of people aren't strong, and especially when things don't go right. You know what I mean? You go into the office, you're working on a deal, and it doesn't matter what business you guys in, as far as the listeners out there. If you have a non-strong, like a weak support system, when that first day or that second time where something goes wrong, that's when you start hearing those voices play in your ear.
Right.
In your mind. And you're like, yeah, I told you this wasn't going to work. I told you, blah, blah, blah.
You know who that voice is? That's the mediocre monkey on your back.
I like that. Yeah.
For real.
Yeah.
It's very easy for him to get and start, you know, whispering a bunch of sweet nothings. And, you know, at that point, you feel defeated. You feel down. It's like, yeah, maybe I should take his advice.
Mm-hmm.
My father was like, you need to get a job with benefits and, you know, you need to get Social Security. Because my father, listen, my father, he's a foreigner, man. He's,
yeah.
You know, straight off the boat from Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Man, straight up. So, you know, his whole life, you know, he worked. I mean, listen, he had his own business. He did it. But at one point he was working, you know, 9 to 5s, heavy, heavy, heavy. But I was like, Dad, man, there's another way to get money, man. I ain't got to break my back for it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying, listen, I work hard. Don't get me wrong. But,
yeah.
You know, thank God my hands, you know, I got some soft hands.
you don't have to go out in the cold.
Right.
You don't have to,
right.
You know, you're doing, you know.
We do, though. Listen, when you're out showing, you know, beautiful condos, wherever you're at, you still got to go out there.
A nice pea coat and suit.
Yeah, man, but listen, man.
I get it.
You, like, it's mentally exhausting.
Yeah, it is mentally exhausting.
Everything is really, it's strategic, man. You know.
It's either, you know, growing up, my mom and dad used to have one argument. Who worked the hardest?
Oh,
right? And it was funny to watch, because now as an adult, me and my wife have that same argument. You know, it's not an argument. It's like a little debate. It's like, who works harder?
Right.
You know, and it's funny when you think about it, where it's like, you know, I use my brain to make money, right? And she sits behind a desk. So it was like, yeah, I work harder than you. Like, if you like, no, I work, you know, like, so it's
oh,
just,
yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
So it's just like,
yeah.
But I came up with this, you know, solution, I guess, you know, or something to fix this. I mean, not fix this, to stop this debate in my house. And I was like, yo, we both work hard. Some people work physically.
Right.
Some is emotional and some is it's mental,
right?
So when you're teachers, for example, right? I give it up to teachers, man. Like
they got a job.
They got, yo, that's a job, yeah. Job. Like
that's rough.
It's rough.
Yeah.
Because you're dealing with, say, 900 kids in one day, all types of personalities, high energy, low energy, like all types of emotional just right. Things are going on. And then all of a sudden, it ends. Yeah. It ends, yo, at 2:30. And then you have to, like, do something else or whatever it is. It's tough, man. And it's draining. So when you go home, you just, like,
yeah,
you know? And I didn't realize that until I started going teaching entrepreneurship in the schools.
Yeah.
And spending a whole day, you know? Like, you do it once a day for, like, a career day. It's like, yeah, you don't really know. But if you do it for a couple months... And you're like, yeah, after this, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go show a house with Wilson.
Sounds good.
Yeah, right, bro. It sounds good. You know, it sounds
mentally
good.
Mentally draining.
Mentally draining, bro. Having kids, like, yeah. Same thing, bro. Like,
so you were actually, you know, teaching at a school?
Mm-hmm.
Like, was this, like, an everyday thing?
This is right now. Not past.
Right now.
This is right now.
And this is every day? Or
yeah.
Is it like once a week?
No, I teach in 9 schools, bro.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I go to 9 schools and I'm going around teaching entrepreneurship. I have a program called Faith Grind Inspire, entrepreneur program. I'm encouraging kids to do the college route, you know, for those, you know, for that. So I have a program doing that. I have an after school program that I have people in. I don't have time for that one anymore. So I put someone in to handle that part where I have the kids actually create a business selling t-shirts or creating t-shirts, creating a brand,
right.
And they making money for a school trip or a parent association or something.
Yeah.
But it's draining, bro.
Yeah.
Like,
and you got a son too.
And I have
a son.
Son
is 3, right?
He's 3.
Yeah.
Three.
I know.
Yeah.
I have 2 under 2 and it's crazy. And I applaud my girl too. Cause
yeah.
She's
how do you balance that, bro? How do you balance work, family? And it's funny, man, because shout out to my, I'm not gonna say his name, but because I don't want to get in trouble, but yeah. We had this conversation with a very positive, I have a friend that's a very positive brother, man.
Yeah.
Very positive. And if you look on Instagram, the Instagram, man, this couple's like, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, yo, okay. So I had a conversation because he was having a baby, so I was like, yo, bro, when that baby comes, the relationship you thought you had,
things change quick. Yeah.
And when people say things change, the men don't really tell you what they mean by that. But I'm gonna tell you.
Yeah.
All right. When things change, it's not things change. Your woman changes.
Yeah. For sure.
Your woman doesn't care about the grind anymore.
Right.
She doesn't care about, and I'm keeping it real on this podcast, like, and all the fellas out here, you could clap and let your girl listen to this, because it's true. Your girl does not care about money once the baby comes. Like, it sounds good, like, as long as the bills, she knows you can handle the bills.
Right.
But there's no extra anymore. There's no, yo, let's... We got $1 million. We don't need $1 million. I need you here to change these diapers. Mm. Like, there's no more networking. You like, you don't need to network 5 times. You already got 3 deals in the pipe. You don't need to go to every. She doesn't even care.
3, just 3.
Yeah, just 3.
I guess I'm lucky because my girl, she she still inspires and pushes me. But she does want me there as well. You
yeah.
know, to help her.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
two,
how do you?
It's two on
it's
the
two. It's two of them, bro.
So what I do is usually I do Monday through Thursday. Monday through Thursday, and I take off Friday onto Sunday. And luckily for the team that we have, I have great supporting team members that they'll do the open houses for me. And we'll figure out a split. But that's how I try to balance it. And we're also lucky enough that her mom lives downstairs.
Yeah.
So she's a full-time nanny pretty much, and she helps out while my girl goes to work, or we're both at work. And if we want a date night, we try to do at least one day a week a date night. Because if not, it'll be over. Because you need that. Because no, seriously. No, you need that.
Yo, he said the magical word, bro. Like he said, my mother-in-law lives downstairs and helps and be his daddy. Like,
yo, bro, if you didn't have that,
bro, you'd be in every other man's situation, bro.
No, but listen, must be nice, man.
We just had a very tough week. Last week, both of our kids were sick. Ooh. And neither of them wanted to be put down. The little guy was with me and the little one was with her. And it was rough. It's like when that's happening, you don't even have time for each other to talk, you know? It's all about the kids at this point.
Yeah.
So forget about you, forget about me. It's about the kids.
Yep.
But when we're able to go out, like, you feel like, oh, so relaxed. All right, babe, how you doing?
Yeah,
you
know,
like, we get to communicate better. With the kids running and screaming, you don't even get to do that.
You can't, bro.
We're very fortunate to have her mom downstairs.
Yo, man, I wish, bro.
Yeah.
I wish.
My mom and dad, they caught the first plane back to Puerto Rico 3 months after my son was born. They were like, all right, we're retiring. Peace. And I was like, all right, I'll figure it out. So, yeah, it must be nice.
Yeah, it's helpful.
But I tell you, man, I wouldn't have it any other way.
No, I wouldn't have it any other way. It's fun. It's
challenging.
It's a challenge that.
Well, I don't have two. That's why.
No. You have one.
I got one.
Yeah,
he's a baby boy. He just turned 4.
Uh huh. God bless.
Yo, man, he's a fireball, man.
Yeah, listen, bro.
My son's already getting ridden up on the bus.
Yo.
He's going through some real problems right now. I ain't problems, man.
Yeah, it's funny to watch, man. Like, my son goes to his older cousin's birthday parties, man, and beats people up. Like, he's 3. He's beating up six-year-olds.
We gotta get our kids together.
Yeah, for sure, man, because they're the same age.
Yeah.
You know, like, right. Anu just turned 4. Like, okay. But yeah, man. So I mean, that whole balance structure, man. It's like, it's challenging, man. But it was funny because I was having this conversation with my friend.
Yeah,
and it was interesting to see like what he was saying, and I was like, yeah, really. And then I hit him with this one, right? I said, yo, wait until you get you're present, but you're not present,
right?
Oh, yeah.
You said, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, yo, it's real. Like, you come home and you don't work at your office. You come home because you want to be there.
Right.
But you're like, all right, babe, let me do some work while I'm here. But, you know, if you need me, I'm here. But
that doesn't work.
No, it doesn't.
She hits you with the, you're present, but you're not present. I said that to my wife the other day, like, telling her about the conversation. I was like, yo, I gave her a hug.
Yeah.
Because I was like, yo, for a long time, I thought it was like her, you know? Right. But I was like, nah, it's not you. I was like, it's everyone. Like, every man who doesn't have the... I was like, every man goes through it.
Yeah.
I was like, but you have to be a strong man and patient man to actually get past it, understand that it's just part of the process. Yeah, like, women go through a lot.
Right.
You definitely know what I mean? And there's a lot going on, and they're mothers.
Right.
So the nurture part... Like, I remember I met this Nigerian guy, and he said, yo, because he saw me, like, pushing the baby carriage. This is 3 years ago. But I've never forgot what he said to me, because I sometimes use it part of my defense, my rebuttals, right? So, and I don't know. You guys can use it if you want, but I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe so. But I'm about to tell you. So, I had my suit on. I'm Brooklyn Swirl's open, and I'm pushing the stroller, and this Nigerian guy comes, and he's like, yo, I like what you're doing, man. And he was like, I applaud you. And he said, but America's so different, man. And I said, what happened? Like, what do you mean? He goes, back in my country, he said, a man has the baby, right, with, you know, his wife or, you know what I'm saying? The woman takes care of the baby all the way until maybe like third grade.
Oh yeah, that doesn't rock.
Like until the kid is like old enough to understand, that's when the man comes in and steps in and like like becomes the father. You know what I mean? Like, but the little, you know, taking care of the baby, changing diapers, feeding him, like breastfeeding, like no. Like, we're not part, like, they not involved at that stage. They involved when it's, like, time to, like, groom you into, like, say, like we're talking about baby boys, a man. Like, you know what I mean? That's when the father steps in.
Yeah.
But the beginning stages, he was like, yo, bro, like, I would never be pushing a stroller and, like, what? Where's your wife at? I said, she's not here. I'm giving her a break. He was like, oh. He was like, what? All right. Wow. And I said, wow. That's so crazy. I would use this on defense. I was like, so we'll, you know, my wife will be talking and I'm like, yeah, babe, you know, in Africa, like the man doesn't even step up until he doesn't even help until the kid's like five. Like, you know what I mean? I'm helping at 3 months. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got diapers. I'm doing all this stuff. Like, give me some credit. Yeah. You know?
Right.
She's like, I don't care what they do out here. We're in Brooklyn. So anyway, man. So back to this entrepreneur thing. I think being a successful entrepreneur, right? Like, you know, we joke around with the whole relationship thing and the balancing, but it's part of it. You know what I mean? Because if you don't have a good support system, like, and your support system is your wives and your girlfriends and the people around you that you're intimate with, you know what I mean? Like, because you have to recharge at home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the serious part. Like, you have to be able to go home and recharge because you get your ass kicked every day. Like, every day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it's important, and that's part of it. Like, you can't go home and get your ass beat again mentally, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And some guys physically, you know? But you can't do that and go back out the next day and be productive and hit numbers.
Yeah, because you're always kind of like in a you're always in a tough spot, man. You know, it's like I just got done fighting a bunch of battles at work. Now I got to listen to my wife, my girl, my baby mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, got to listen to her badging me now. And it's like,
beat me up again.
I don't know if I can wake up tomorrow and do it all over. I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
For me, it's the kids. Like, because our kids are still small. So getting home is like a whole nother project.
You have two.
Two, yeah.
Yeah.
My son is a year and a half, and my baby girl's 4 months now. So we got to put them to sleep when I get in. And she needs my help because it's two of them.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That could be it.
That's amazing. Yeah. Man. That's a blessing, dude. Man.
I'm about to go. Very blessed.
I'm about to tell her, listen, babe, I got to go get a pack of cigarettes and I'm never coming home. No, I'm just joking.
You going to get in trouble.
This guy wants another one. He's talking about I want another kid.
Yeah?
Who knows?
That's what's up, man. Not me, bro. I'm keeping it real.
Yeah, one
everybody
one
that knows
a...
G knows, like, yeah, G one is one and done, bro.
Yeah.
Yo, it's 2020, bro. Like, you know, like, I'm not, you know, there's so much stuff, man. The world is crazy. They want to pump all types of weird drugs in these kids.
Yeah, back
like, these kids are, yeah, these kids are getting sick. Like, I don't want to go through this, man. Like, again?
Right.
It's like torture for them, bro. Like, and so, and you're scared, like, yo, is my kid going to be... You know, like, you're looking at autism, you're looking at all these different problems.
Right.
And you're like, you don't know what it's causing. You don't know if it's the food. You don't know if it's the vaccines. You don't know the environment. So why am I going to, for me, why am I going to keep putting, you know, rolling that dice and taking a chance to, like, you know what I mean?
It's scary.
It's scary.
It is.
You know what I'm saying? And you can't do anything about it.
Right.
You know? So the only thing I could do about it is say, yo, babe, no.
Right.
Yeah. Ooh. That's a tough, man. That could land you on the couch for a couple weeks.
Yeah,
That's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But nah, bro. Like,
You got a first class ticket to the couch.
To the couch, right? Yeah. So you have to have the conversation, bro. Like, you know, like, but you know, my wife and I are on the same page with that because it's true.
Here.
You know, like, kids are getting, like, you wake up, now there's the vans, like, the kids going to school, a van pulls up, picking up kids. I saw a story the other day where it was, like, the lady was at, like, Walmart or Target, and she had the baby in the little seat, and, you know, like.
Yeah.
Oh, the guys were following her?
Yeah.
That
and
was
then,
Stop and Shop.
Stop and Shop.
Yeah,
and
then, I think I heard of that.
And then they, like, picked up, she turned around for a second and like picked him up, you know? And I'm like,
that's crazy.
That's wild, bro. Like, This world is crazy. Anyway, and so, and you watch these movies. I don't know, man. Yeah. Like, I don't want to get into all of that. Right. Or they shut me down.
Gene, what do you got planned up for 2020? How's 2020 looking for you, my
2020
man?
Is all about laser focus, man. Like, okay. I want to take this podcast to another level.
All right.
I want to take the real estate game to another level, especially with concierge, man. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, I think our team, the Sabre team, is strong. And I think that if we do it the right way, like Voltron, man, like,
right.
You know, 2020 is going to be really good for us. This year is going to be really, really good. And as far as family and structure goes, like, the way we're going is good, you know, and I think we just need to keep building on that, you know, spiritually. I'm at a great place, you know. I go to CCC, Christian Culture Center. Shout out to Pastor Bernard. And so spiritually, like, I feel in a real, I feel like I have a blue light around me.
All right. You know what I mean? All right.
Yeah, man. And so
I feel the positivity.
Yeah, yeah, man. Like, it's
Gene's
it's,
always positive.
Yeah, so man.
I met Gene. I just yeah. I felt the positivity.
Yeah, man. Like, you know, I just feel like you, there's no other way, man. Like, you right. can't. You can't just be negative, man. You have to be positive. Like, even with the negative stuff, I laugh at it.
Right.
That's why people are like, yo, man, why are you laughing? You know, and I'm like, no, because even, you know, and I think that eggs on certain people, like, you know, my wife is used to it now, but like, even if she's like arguing with me, I'm like laughing. Like, I'm like, yo, like, chill. Like, you know what I'm saying? She's like, yo, you think everything's funny? I'm like, nah. Even now, like, you know what I'm saying? It's just.
That's all how you react to
things. Yeah, bro. We're alive.
Yeah, exactly.
We have 2 feet, 2 hands. Like,
we're healthy.
We're healthy. Like, right. Our kids are healthy. Yeah. Like, what else can we, like, who cares? Like,
right.
You didn't get the deal. You didn't get the exactly. listing. You didn't, you know, the mortgage. The guy freaking buys a car 2 days before closing and then his credit score drops. Like, deal dead. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're going to have people mad at you. You're going to have people happy. You're going to have all these different types of people every day. You know, every day there's going to be a new challenge. I think as entrepreneurs, if you don't have a day where or a week that you're not going through a hurdle or you're not solving a problem or putting out a fire, you're not really an entrepreneur, bro.
Nah.
You're not really doing right. anything.
You gotta be able to control your emotions.
Yeah,
and,
man.
It's funny. My sister called me last week. My oldest sister, Whitey, and she, you know, she's very like hot headed in a sense, and she's telling me about an issue she had, and I'm telling her the solution for her how she should go about it. And she gets mad at me because I'm so calm about it. Mm-hmm. She's like, why are you so calm about this? You should be a lot more upset. I'm like, no, at the end of the day, it's how you react.
Yeah.
And you're choosing to react that way.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know that everyone's not the same. People are going to react to you differently.
Mm-hmm.
If you go and give someone charity and they're not appreciative, you can't be mad at them, you know? That was out of your good heart to do it. Whatever. If they don't appreciate it, you know not to do it again.
Yeah. Always do right. This will gratify some and astonish the rest.
Exactly.
You know, if you give to give, you don't have to worry about what the person's going to, you know what I'm saying? Because the person you give to is right. not the person that's going to give back to you.
Right.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You can't expect it. It's right. Same thing.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, like the universe is going to handle it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just like very if you do true. Something bad. The universe is going to handle that too.
Yep.
You know? So, you know, so what you have to do is just do right, do good, and it's always going to continue to grow and blossom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, a lot of things in my life have come to me without trying. You know? And that's my challenge as an entrepreneur.
Right.
You know? Creating a real system because I'm spoiled. I'm being transparent. Like, I don't really try hard at all, you know, because of the way I work. I have relationships. I build with people naturally. And then what ends up happening is people just call me.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, as a plug, like, they'll call me. They say, hey, do you have, you know, a plumber? And then I say, yeah, I have a plumber and his name is so-and-so. And then next thing you know, they're like, oh, yeah, I want to sell my house. I'm like, okay. Like, you know what I mean? And then I can help you. And then I make 2 phone calls without even showing the house. Like, it's sold. Like, that's the weird things that happen to me. You know what I'm saying? And even in the printing business, same crap. Like, I won't speak to someone for a couple days. I'll make a post on social media, and then next thing you know, I get a DM like, yo, look, I work for Pepsi. I want to hook you up with... What?
Like, I think that's like...
take this in right now.
Yeah, bro. Like, so that's why when people say, why did you name the show Faith Grind Inspired? That's why. Like, you have to have faith in yourself. You have to put in the work. Grind. That's why grind stands out. You know, that's why it's in black. Because I wanted that to stand out, but I wanted the black and gold. You know what I mean? And so, but the grind, you have to put in the work. I think when you put in the work, it'll inspire other people to do what they got to do to fulfill their vision, but they'll also inspire people to do stuff for you, right? You don't know who's going to inspire, but you don't know what's going to happen. Like, I don't do things just because I know things are going to happen for me. Like, I just do things because, like, I'm in the schools, not because of anything else, except I don't want to look at the news at 11 and see a kid in, say, Richmond Hill shooting up a school or something. You know what I mean? Like, or this kid was part of a robbery, or this kid got killed because he was part of a gang. I want to be that mentor, right? And I call my boys, like, yo, come to the schools. Like, you could take an hour. You could take 45 minutes to come into a school to talk to a group of kids. Yeah. Like, you're not that busy. Right, you know what I mean? Like, you could do it. And that 45 minutes of them seeing you know what I mean? Like, they're going to be like, oh, word? It's possible?
Yeah.
Well, for real? Yo, you Puerto Rican? Yo, I'm Puerto Rican.
Right.
I didn't know we could wear a suit. Like, and you might laugh at that, but it's true. Like, you might be part of in a community where you don't even know that people wear suits for a living as a job. Like, you didn't think, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
For real. Like, yeah. People do that now in 2020 when I walk down Bed-Stuy. Like, yeah, bro.
Very true.
They'll see me, they're like, what? You? Really? Yeah. But you have to expose them to that, man. Like, you have to expose them. You have to tell them, like, yo, pick up your pants, bro. And it was like, yeah, I hear that. But I'm like, yo, I'm not telling you as a teacher. I'm telling you as a mentor. And they're like,
yeah.
And then you tell them, you explain to them. You know where that came from? Came from jail. You know what I'm saying? Like, you want to go to jail? No. Okay. But if you don't talk to them, but you're not talking, I'm not talking down at them. I'm communicating with them. That's what, I don't come in as a teacher.
Right.
You know, I come in as a mentor. I come in as a person that's trying to expose you to something else. You know, and I let them know, because a lot of times the kids will ask me, yo, you got money, man. Why are you here? Why you come back to come here? Why you come to Brownsville? Why you come to East New York? Why you come to, you know, South Ozone Park? Like, why you come to Jamaica?
Yeah.
Why are you coming here? Well, because you need me here. You know what I mean? Like, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's important. It's important because if you don't give back, bro, like, it's not good, man. You know what I mean? Because then you pointing like, oh, man, I grew up on that block, man. Like, oh, yeah? But you never went back.
Right.
Like, so you can't say shit because you left.
Right.
You left. You know, I try to go at least to Deer Park one time a year. You know what I mean? Like, I try to go back because they even tried to take, they took a, years ago, they tried to take away the business program in the school. I went to the school board and I petitioned that we bring back. I was like, yo, I learned more in my high school than I did in college when it came down to business. Absolutely. By far. I was part of DECA. I was part of Shadow. I was part of another entrepreneur program. I was part of STEP. I was part of all the business clubs. And I said, you can't take this away because if you don't do this, these kids are bored. So what do bored kids do in the suburbs? They smoke, they drink, they do drugs.
Right.
So now when you have all these kids in Long Island doing drugs, you're like, where did this come from? Oh, really? You took the programs away.
Yeah.
They're bored.
Makes sense.
It does. Yeah, it's absolutely makes sense. And then it's the same thing. Some of the kids in Long Island are way worse than the kids in the city.
Yeah.
And the kids in the city, a lot of them don't got nothing.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And these kids live in houses. They live in houses, 5-bedroom houses, 3 baths, big backyard, pool, barbecue, 2 cars in the driveway. Their parents grind, but they got something.
Right.
You know what I mean? These kids are living in a five in a room. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. And they're still not doing half the stuff these kids in Long Island are doing. And I'm from Long Island.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But and I know this. And I'm like, yo, bro, like, you're not struggling. You don't have to have a gun. Like, you don't have right. to, you don't have to walk around strapped. Like, you don't have to join a gang, bro. Like, what are you doing this for?
That's the difference. That's the difference between, you know, being a follower and a leader.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
Yeah. Like,
some people need that approval.
Yeah.
I don't.
I don't either, bro. I don't either.
Any of us do it.
No. But no, we don't. But that's why we have to come back and talk to them and let them know. That's why I think it's important.
They don't have the leadership.
No. Home. They don't know, bro. Yeah. Like, they don't know. They think they want to be leaders, but they're kids.
Right.
So they're so insecure at this stage where they're like, I know I'm a leader and I know this don't feel right, but because he said I should do this, screw it. And then next thing you know, you're caught up. Mm-hmm. And when you're caught up, now it's like, oh, man, yo, I knew I shouldn't do it. That's what happens.
Right.
I knew I shouldn't go in that. Like,
right.
So I teach my kids one thing. Precaution versus cure. Precaution versus cure. Think about it. Everybody has a spidey sense. You have a spidey sense. He has a spidey sense. You have a spidey sense. Brianna has one. I have one. You know when something's not feeling good.
Right.
You know what I mean? And, but, you don't take action, and you don't go with your gut, and you follow. You open that door and you go.
That's great that you're teaching kids about their instincts, because school doesn't teach you about your instincts. Like, some kids don't even, you know, they don't know what they're feeling when they feel that. So I think that's very cool, and I applaud you for that.
Thank you, bro.
Yeah,
thank you.
What's up, man?
There was a kid in one of my programs that just got, he was about to get in trouble, and he was like, yo, Dr. Alert, I thought about it. I was like, right, because they were in a situation where four kids in the situation. They were in the bathroom, and two of the kids were about to bully the third kid. So he was just watching it. He just happened to be in the bathroom. And he was like, Gene, well, he called me Dr. Alert. He was like, I thought precaution versus cure. I thought about it, and I knew what was about to happen, and I ran out the bathroom.
Yeah.
And I went and I stayed with a teacher, just so that, like, I'm not involved.
Right.
And then come to find out, they beat up the kid. The kid busts his head, and he named names. And when he named the names, guess who he named? That kid.
Right.
That went to hide with the teacher.
Yeah.
But he was with the teacher, so he was like, no, this couldn't be because he was with me.
Right.
What really happened? And he was like, all right, those two kids were, but, you know, I just went.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So precaution versus cure. And because he was a troubled kid already, what they call at-risk youth.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? That's the label. So because he's one of those, as soon as they said, this good kid said his name, they were ready to throw him under the bus. But because he learned what he understood what I was teaching him, he got himself out of that situation. He was like, you see, Dr. Larry, I'm listening. I'm changing, bro. Because I told him, I said, yo, you know these kids on the left are going to do something bad? You go to the right, and you leave. You beeline.
Right.
You know? And it's working. You know? So anyway, I don't want to make this an education. You turned this, I'm passionate about education, man, and mentorship, bro. It's like, I didn't want this podcast to be all about that, man.
Nah,
but
that's great.
But like, I'm very passionate about it, man. I think that's like one of my, like, when I retire, when I leave sales for sure, like, I think I'll probably travel around the country and just do this, man. Like, because it's important, bro. Like,
yeah,
you know, because all the things that you could do, all the money, you can't, people die every day, right? I had my friend Donnie just pass away. When I started ACA, I met him in 2007. Good kid, fire, energy. Yo, this guy caught cancer, beat it twice. And this third time, he passed. 37. Wow, man. You know what I mean? And I'm like, yo. But guess what? No one knows how much money he had. No one knows how much cars he had. But everyone, he had over like 1,200 people at his funeral. You know what I mean? And those people came not because of the money and the status, the Instagram likes. They came because of the way, the legacy, how he made them feel. Right. You see what I'm saying? The inspiration part. And that's the powerful part. So, fellas, so even on that note, right, with, you know, teaching them about being men, teaching these young guys and even women, right, these young girls, something else that's important to us is financial literacy, like teaching them about money, right?
Right, of course.
So talk about that, bro.
Yeah, so I grew up in a household below the poverty line, and I've come from a single mom. I've always seen her busting her ass, you know, paycheck to paycheck. And if something goes wrong, you know, then you're in the hole. You don't have anything else. Then you're really backed up. And it's just a vicious cycle. And I love my mom to death. And one of the reasons I have the mindset is because of her. You know, she always listens to inspirational things, and she kind of instilled that in me. But I always knew I did not want to live like that. I don't want to raise my kids that way. So I made it a point where you don't have to live that way. Money is man-made. Why can't we control it, you know? So I took it upon myself to control my finances and set myself and my family up where we don't have to stress about money, you know? That I feel like so many people stress about money, and it's like, it's man-made. Mm-hmm. Let's control this. Let me show you how to do it. Let's live below our means, you know? And let's create abundance of wealth.
Yep.
So that's one thing I'm very passionate about, and I try to instill in everyone around me. And I think Chris can tell you, like, you know, a lot of people come to me for financial advice in that sense.
This guy's tight with his money.
He is, right?
Oh, Will's tight.
Okay. No, I spend, but I'm very, like I said, I think it's because how I grew up, and I knew I didn't want to live that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I always set myself up where there was an abundance. If I had a rainy day, it's not going to kill me.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah, but taking that first step, it is challenging. Especially if, you know, you're used to, like, going out, partying, drinking, hanging out, buying, you know, material things, nice shoes. You got a nice car note you got to pay every month. You know, I actually just recently changed my life, you know, about 2 years ago. Yeah, about almost 2 years ago. I finally came to myself and I was like, you know what? I'm going to stop traveling. I'm going to stop going out. You know, I'm going to start taking this business thing a little more seriously. I was making money, but, you know, I could take it to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you ever heard of Rory Vadim?
Mm-mm.
Okay. He, you know, he does a lot of like inspirational, you know, business talk. And
mm-hmm.
And I read his book. It's called Take the Stairs. And one sentence, like one quote stuck out to me, and I think about it every day. It's, you know, people are scared for, you know, to do short-term discomfort. They don't want to endure short-term discomfort in order to get that long-term result. So my short-term discomfort was, again, stop traveling, stop buying the newest Jordan that came out, stop going out. I did that for a year and a half, man, and it's crazy. I look at what I got in my bank account now, what I got in my 401k, it's insane. But, you know, I was willing to, hey, yo, we're going to go to Florida next month. You want to go? Let's go. Let's go. Listen, let's. No, I can't do it, man. I'm sorry. Oh, we're going to Puerto Rico. Oh, we're going to go to the DR. I gave up so many trips, you know, to hit that goal. And, you know, It's tough. It's tough to do it, man. It's very challenging.
It's discipline.
Living living within your means is really it's a skill to master.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't they overlook that.
That's why they always say like people who hit the lottery always go broke.
Yeah, man.
Because
if you can't manage $1,000, how are you going to manage $100,000 or $100 million? Mm-hmm. You know,
like, it's just not fly.
Yeah, and it's just knowing what to do. It's kind of discovering what are your necessities and mm-hmm. what are your wants, right? So your wants are the vacation and the new car and all this. But what are your necessities, right? Mm-hmm. What do you need to get to point A to point B? And I'm not saying you can't get yourself nice things, you mm-hmm. know, once you've accumulated that amount. Like, I do believe in that. But I like to be financially stable before I get the luxury. So take care of your needs first, right? You got a roof over your head.
Mm-hmm.
Chris actually helped me purchase a triplex in Jersey. Kind of house hack, live in one unit, rent the other three.
Yeah,
so that was one of my ways to kind of, you know, financially stabilize myself. And being that we were having the kids, my girl, if she wanted to take a few weeks or a few months off of work or not even go back, mm-hmm. she could do that, right? Because we set ourselves up that way.
Yep.
So that, you know, what are we going to do next month for the bills? No, that's taken care of, you know?
Yeah. And that's how you're supposed to be.
But 90%
of people, but they're not educated on it.
95, 98.
You know, like, people, yeah. So, tough, and that's why, you know, that's why, like, having this podcast, having this conversation and having these discussions are important.
Right.
Because we're not doing this. This show is not for us.
Right.
It's not for us.
Right.
It's for someone else out there that you might need to give this message to. But then you're like, they're not listening to me. You know what? Let me give it to them on another way. And then here, check this podcast out.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, they're listening to it. And they're like, yo, you know what? That part.
Right.
That part right there.
Yeah.
That resonated with me. Yeah. Oh, all right. I'm glad, man. Like, what are you going to do?
Right.
You know, what are you going to do? What's the next step? You see what I'm saying? Like, I remember I made a decision, 18. I said, yo, same thing, man. I used to see my dad, like, wintertime, bro? Like, my father was an entrepreneur, too. And wintertime was horrible. You know what I mean? Like we struggled from December to March. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it was like, I didn't even bother my parents during Christmas. Like, if they gave me something, I was fine. Like, if they didn't, I was like, don't worry about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how it was. And we lived in a nice house. Like,
right.
So so I said, same thing. I don't want this.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I can't front because I made money young.
Right.
I was making money at 18. I was like, I got to know how this feels like, man. Like, I got to, you know what I mean? Because I lived two worlds, bro. Like, I lived with my parents. But then I spent the whole summer with my rich cousins and their rich friends.
You're like the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
My favorite show.
Yo, yes. Yes. And all their friends. Imagine, like, as a black and brown boy, bro, like, you go and you see all these kids.
Yeah.
16, Infinities, Benzes, E-Classes, like, brand new.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Range Rovers, like, this is their world. But then you go back to where I'm from, like, there was one kid that, you know, like, at least black kids that had a car. Like, no one had a car. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so you just like, damn, son, like.
Kind of like a culture shock.
It was a culture shock. But because I was so, I was like, I saw it. I was like, yo, okay. My parents are like, yo, you can't get cinnamon toast crunch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But in this house, they have six boxes. Like,
but I think it's important.
But I sort of balance. No, it is important.
Yeah.
Because then once I got a taste of it, I was like, okay, I know what not to do. I know what to do. I know the difference. I know I don't need to be spoiled. You see what I'm saying? I know how hard work. If you work super hard, this is what could happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's working. Like, you know what I'm saying? And then I disciplined myself. I ended up buying a property and doing that and using that as my leverage so that I could say, okay, I can breathe.
Nice piece of property you got there, Mr. Alert.
You know, I can breathe. I can do something where it's like, okay. Yeah. You know what I mean? But it took a while.
Gene, you had Cinnamon Toast Crunch, but it just wasn't called Cinnamon Toast.
No, no.
It was even Cinnamon Squares.
No, bro. My mom didn't buy that. It was straight up, you got the 2 for $5, right? The 2 for $5, it was either, it was like Fruit Loops or Frosted Flakes. The thing about, let me tell you, shout out to my mom, right? Because my mom would never buy like the Pathmark brand soup, Pathmark bread.
Oh, man.
Like she would buy the name brand stuff, but only the 2 for $5. Like it was only the 2 for $5. It wasn't like anything else. But like
Fruity Pebbles, Fruity Stones.
Yeah, no Fruity,
I had
Stones.
Fruity Stones.
Yeah, you had the Fruity Stones.
Oh, listen, man, I had to do.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. Like people were like, "Yo, you didn't struggle." I'm like, I guess not, man, because.
But how liberating is it when you have a property? You know, it's kind of like your retirement, right?
Yeah,
that property's your retirement. How much easier is it for you to sell now that you don't have that pressure? Like, oh, I got to make this sale. No, if I don't make it, I'm good. So your whole attitude changes,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of like flow, like you say you are flowing now.
Mm-hmm.
People call you. Guess what? Because I'm not frustrated or strapped on cash where I need to go make a quick sale.
They can sense it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
They can sense it.
When people feel desperate. People want, oh, that's a good one. People want to deal with winners.
Right.
People don't want you to come in to their house. They don't want the person that is struggling to try to sell their house. They don't want to be the guinea pig. They don't want to be the person. They don't want the mortgage guy in your case to like, yo, I gotta take a bus here. Like,
wait,
you're not making money? Like, you've been in it for how long? Like, you think I'm gonna be the one that lets you do my, nah, I'm good. You know? And so, and you're like, nah, man, I just need an opportunity. I just need one person, please, Lord.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. It's like, so when you walk in with confidence, like,
yeah,
I'm good. Yeah. Like, with the marketing company, I walk in, I'm like, yeah, I want to help you with your brand, but yeah, or I want to help you with your restaurant. Oh yeah, I got one too. Like, so I know what you're talking about. So anything you about to tell me,
right,
I go through it. Oh yeah, workers' comp? Yeah, I know about it. Like, dealing with employees that steal? Yeah, I've been there too. Like, so now can we have a conversation not on me trying to pitch you, but let's, as an entrepreneur to an entrepreneur.
Right, right.
And now it's like, oh,
yeah,
for you, same thing.
Difference.
It's a difference.
Yeah.
Yo, yeah, I'm a homeowner too. Like, you can say that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I'm a homeowner too. I know about tenants. I know about, so when I'm talking to you about finding you the perfect tenant, I'm not coming to you a place as a person that doesn't own, doesn't deal with I don't know about dealing with tenants. So how am I going to tell you how to deal with tenants when you never, you know what I mean? So when someone says, oh, you have a three family too? Really? Oh, okay. All right, man. I trust you.
Yeah.
For real.
That's the truth.
People follow people, man.
Right.
Like in school, one of the best classes was sociology for me. The study of people.
Right.
Once you understand the study of people, people are the same. That's why I laugh at racism. You know what I mean? Like, because it's created.
Right.
Like, we're all literally the same. We speak different languages. We're just, everyone's the same, bro.
Right.
Like, they all want the same. They want to do better for their family. Like, period. You know what I mean? And so, it's nothing to do with color. It has something to do with the mind.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so, once people understand that, like, I was in Long Island. I was 18 years old, black kid, going to Garden City, going to Old Westbury, going to Mutton Town, going to sometimes the Hamptons, going to Smithtown. I'm going to different neighborhoods, but then I'll go to Amityville. Then I'll go to Baldwin Harbor. I'll go to Hempstead. I'll go to Westbury. I'll go to Old Westbury. I would go to different neighborhoods, not scared. Right. Like, and I'm not saying talking about scared of like crime. You know what I mean? Like, you're not getting robbed in old West, but confident in myself, yeah. Forgetting the color, because I knew I was confident, yeah. And I knew my material.
Right.
I knew what I was talking about. Interest rates don't matter. The interest rate is not going to matter if I was black or white.
Right.
You're getting a 5%, you're getting 5%. You're getting 3%, it's getting 3%. Like, I know what a percentage is. I know my numbers.
Right.
So you have a problem, I have the solution. Don't look at my color. Look at what I know. Look at what I could deliver. I could solve that problem for you.
Right.
Look past that I'm this 18-year-old Haitian kid from right. Long Island. Think about me as the banker that's in your house right now trying to help you solve this problem, trying to help you solve this problem. And once people got it, bro, yo, man.
Yeah.
Because I didn't talk about color no more.
Right.
I didn't talk about it. I didn't say, oh, man, because I'm this is why I can't go yeah. to Old Westbury. I can't go to Garden City because we don't belong there. What?
No.
No, I belong anywhere.
Right.
Because I'm the person that solves the problem. I am the mortgage doctor at the time. I'm not the mortgage doctor anymore. But you know what I'm saying? So, and that's it. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, anyway, man. We could go on forever.
Yeah.
But I love this,
that's
bro.
That's what separates successful from unsuccessful. That's a mental barrier. And you, obviously, you broke that and you went for it. And
yeah.
That's why.
And you guys too, bro. Like, and I applaud it, man. Like, you know, we just need to pump it out, man. Like, yeah. Let other people know that, yo, you could do it. And you don't have to do this in real estate. You could do this selling candles.
Yeah,
you could do it selling water. You could do it doing videography. You could do it printing. Like, I don't care what you do, just do something.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we ask our guests one final one question. Which word resonates with you? Since we started with you, we're going to end with you. We're going to end with Wilson. Which word resonates with you? Fave, grind, inspire. And then you answer it second.
Out of the three?
Yeah, out of the three.
Can I choose all three?
You can if you want. You can.
No, I would say faith in the sense of having that blind faith. We all have to have that blind faith as entrepreneurs, right? Mm-hmm. We'll go back to the sporting thing. As a quarterback, your wide receiver's running a post, right? You have to have faith he's going to cut in time when you throw that ball and he's going to make that play, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the faith comes. You have to have faith that you're going to get that sale, or you know, you're going to get that new client. Grind in the sense that it's constantly hitting the ground. Even when I'm home, I'm picking up calls for clients, you know, because you cannot not do that. You know, you have people selling million-dollar homes. They want you to pick up. You have to pick up, you know. Obviously not after hours, like 5 p.m. Inspire in the sense, I hope I can inspire people around me and show them that anyone can do it. You know, if you come from poverty, single mom household, like, you can do it, you know. You just have to have that mentality, faith, grind, and keep it pushing, consistent and persistent.
I love it. What about you, Chris?
You know, I would like to choose all three, but I'm not piggybacking off of Will. You know, out of all the three, I like Inspire because, you know, I personally read a lot of self-help books that inspire me to try different things. I'm all about inspiration, man. I feed off of positive energy all the time. If I don't have the positive energy, like if I'm not feeling it, I gotta radiate it somehow. And I'm all about inspiration, so inspire is my word I'll pick, and I'll stick with it.
I love it. Thank you, guys, man.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having us, man.
Yeah, today was, you know, I hope that wasn't too bad, you know. I try to make it a conversation versus an interview.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course.
And that's why people gravitate towards the show.
Yeah.
But so tell people where they can find you.
I'm at Compass on the Sabre team. You can Google Wilson Zarella at Compass. LinkedIn, social media, and Instagram, and that's about it.
What about you, Chris?
For me, you can find me, Christopher Figueroa. You just Google me up, I'll come up. But Facebook, you can find me, you know, / The Mortgage Connect. Same thing with Instagram, at The Mortgage Connect. I am The Mortgage Connect. I work Embrace Home Loans. You know, they've got a good platform I'm helping them roll out, and you know, just look me up. Let me know if you have any questions.
This guy just saved me $600 a month on my mortgage.
That's what's up, man. I like that.
I got a testimonial over here.
I like that. $600?
$600.
I'm increasing the cash flow.
I love that, bro.
But in all seriousness, you know, look me up. If you have any questions, maybe you want to buy a new home, you just don't know where to start. You want to refinance, but you don't know how much money you'll really save. Give me a call, man. I'm here to paint a better picture for you. I'm all about facts. That's what it's all about, man. Good information.
I love it. So thank you guys. With that being said, I want to thank you guys for tuning in to another great episode of Faith Grind Inspired Podcast. I want to thank my producers, Tim and Brianna and Tukes, for being on the videos today. Appreciate you guys. Tune in every Wednesday. You can catch us consistently. 2020, let's continue to make this a great year. Remember, vision is the only way you can really achieve things, man. Like, having a vision, you have to stay focused on your dreams, keep going no matter what, and keep the faith. God bless. Peace.